This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you, wherever you are. I hope that waking up is not painful this morning. Or if you're working overnight, well, then we're getting close. We're getting close to the end of the shift and a heck of a lot closer to the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you had a 358-foot-long boat that is worth $250 million, you might look forward to weekends even more than you do now. Did you all hear the specs on this boat? I'm not going to tell you who it belongs to. You may already know. Did you guys see this, Chris and Dave? So you have no idea who it is that just purchased a $250 million yacht. You want to take a wild guess? It's someone in sports.
LeBron.
No, but that would be a good guess. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has made 2019 a special year to remember already. Listen to these numbers. This, my friends, is a nerd alert with a whole bunch of ka-chings right in the middle. $250 million yacht. The pictures, the videos, it looks like a battleship. I'm not kidding you. You need to look this up. You can actually use our Twitter account, our show Twitter account, if you want to put some pictures out. Okay, here you go. According to the Washington Post, because I don't actually have a $250 million yacht to compare, and I will never, I'm sure, walk on a $250 million yacht. Here's what the ship includes. Two helipads. Why does one need two places to land a helicopter exactly? Two helipads, a spa, a gym, a beach club. So the spa, the gym, and the beach club, they're all separate. It can accommodate 14 passengers in addition to 20 crew members. $250 million will buy you a 358-foot-long boat. For 20 crew members, only 14 passengers. Are you kidding me? The boat is 358 feet long. How can it not accommodate more people? Where exactly do you put a beach club on a yacht? Not to mention two helipads. Do they combine this so when it's not being used to land a helicopter, does it come with a helicopter? For that kind of money, I feel like it should come with the helicopter. So the chopper may or may not be included. But do you think the helipad also doubles as the beach club? So when it's not being used for the chopper, well, then you get to use that helipad as the beach club?
Oh, yes.
Seriously, who needs to land two choppers at one time? On a yacht. Oh, my gosh. You want to take a wild guess what Jerry Jones is worth? Ballpark. Don't look it up. Step away from Google, Chris. This is why he can afford a $250 million yacht.
This is a tough question. I mean, do you include the valuation of the...
You do not include the choppers or the yacht.
Or the
well, I don't know.
Of the team? I mean,
that's it. He's the owner of the team. He's, I think, a stake owner. I don't think he owns the entire AT&T Stadium, though he might. He's a part owner of that stadium, at least. This is a guy who's got a lot of equity.
I feel like I could be so way off.
I know you could.
Yes, but like,
spit it out.
$7 billion.
You are extremely close. $6.8 billion. How about you?
Wow.
Dave just went to the head of the line. Teacher's pet right there.
Check me out.
Now, if you could just let me know if this includes the helicopter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope your weekend is better than Jerry Jones will be on his $250 million yacht with his crew of 20. Oh my gosh, Chris just tweeted a picture. Do we know the name of the yacht? That would be a coup if we can find out the name of the yacht.
Bravo.
Bravo is the name of the yacht. $250 million buys you two helipads, a beach club, a spa, a gym, 20 crew members. Oh, you have to pay them too, by the way. So it's not just like you pay the boat, you pay for the boat and then you're good. You got to pay that crew as well. How much do you think the fuel costs for a 368-foot boat? 300, something like that.
How about that job, working on that boat? That must be a fun job.
Gosh. Do you think? Not if Jerry Jones gets oiled up and lays out in his beach club.
You could put up with that for sailing the seas on that thing all year long.
So it's called Bravo. That's what he decided to name his boat, or maybe it already had a name. I kind of feel like this is different than a pet, though. The boat doesn't respond to a name, so if you would like to change the boat's name, that's fine. Anyway, I hope that made you feel good about yourself, that you don't need a $250 million yacht to be happy.
Nerd alert!
Bravo can't buy you love, baby. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. We had a couple of head coaches introduced in the NFL yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt LaFleur. Varying backgrounds, but neither one has been a head coach in the NFL until now. I think they both hit the right notes, properly deferential when it comes to the opportunities they've been given. But we did get some information about both of them as well as about the process, which I found fascinating. So we'll get to that coming up. But the latest news is three more dominoes drop. On Wednesday evening, Adam Gase gets the job over Mike McCarthy and the others who were vying for the Jets position. So I'm surprised by this one, mostly because it's inside the AFC East. I'm not sure why I felt like that wasn't going to happen or that was just odd. You think the Patriots are scared? Just be honest. Do we think the Pats are going, oh, he's not leaving our division? I mean, maybe. Hey, just going back to 2013, shoot, I should know this, right, because of my background. It was the year they won the Super Bowl, the Broncos beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship. I mean, that was an Adam Gase offense, right? I don't know, maybe they are quaking in their boots in New England. I laugh because I kid because I think it's ridiculous. Anyway, Adam Gase moves from Miami to New York, and the big thing is the Sam Darnold piece. That's why. Mike McCarthy, by the way, will take 2019 off, and he would like to return to coaching in 2020, but this was the only job that he was interested in. All right, so a little bit about Gase's background, you may remember. Offensive coordinator with the Broncos, highest scoring offense in NFL history. They got blown out in the Super Bowl. Then that year they won the Super Bowl, of course, he turned Brock Osweiler into a viable starting quarterback. I'm just saying. Moves to Chicago with John Fox. And do you remember? Jay Cutler had a really good season in 2015. Then, of course, he moved to Miami, where he had both Brock Tober as well as Jay Cutler for a while. And part of the reason that he and Stephen Ross had a falling out in Miami is because he was committed to Ryan Tannehill and Ross was over it. Ross, the owner, the boss, was done. So the Jets decide Adam Gase is the right fix for Sam Darnold. At least he knows what's coming as an NFL head coach. That's more than what you can say for a lot of the guys who are getting hired. So no Mike McCarthy in 2019, though he does want to coach again. The Broncos decide they'll go defense and experience. How about that? John Elway, he's done the no experience thing. Now he's going with experience. And he's going defensive side of the ball where most of the hires are offense. Even Bruce Arians, who is, of course, not a brand new commodity, is an offensive guy. But John Elway wanted experience. And Vic Fangio getting a lot of applause for finally having an opportunity to run his own team. Most recently, 4 years with the Bears as a defensive coordinator, but he's been in the NFL more than three decades as a coach or coordinator at some level. Steve Atwater is part of the Broncos Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winner going back to the late 90s. So going back to the days of John Elway, man, he was one of the hardest hitters I've ever seen in the NFL. That was your grandfather's NFL. He spoke about the hiring of Vic Fangio to Broncos.com.
He's a guy who's been in the league for a long time, coached, like you said, a lot of really good players, and we have a player who's very similar to Khalil Mack. And, you know, you ask one person, hey, Khalil Mack's better. You ask the other person, I know all of us, Von Miller's the better player. But he does. He maximized the potential of the players. And, you know, I think we can all say our defense didn't play up to their full potential all of last year. Now, the only thing that concerns me about Coach Fangio is that, you know, the stability isn't there like I've seen with Coach Munchak.
Okay, so Vic Fangio gets the job. Munchak does not. Munchak had been a head coach before, most recently with the Steelers as their offensive line coach. The experience is what John Elway wanted, and he settled on Fangio. And that brings us to the Cleveland Browns. This one surprised me a little. I tweeted about it when the news broke on Wednesday. Not surprised that they hired Freddie Kitchens. That part does not surprise me. What surprised me is the dumping of Greg Williams. And maybe the two guys couldn't coexist. Maybe Greg Williams wasn't going to settle for being leapfrogged by Kitchens. But for the Browns to fire him, as opposed to him leaving on his own, I thought was odd. And what I've heard from my Cleveland Browns source is that it was all about the ego. Williams wasn't going to be able to coexist with Kitchens after he got passed over for the job, and that it made John Dorsey nervous, considering the Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley dynamic, the fact that there were reported to be, you know, some friction and some fraction in the locker room because of those two guys, that John Dorsey didn't want to deal with it. It reminded him too much of the problems that they'd had before, they just got rid of, and so he relieved Greg Williams of his defensive coordinator duties. Again, that's what I've heard from my source in Cleveland. I'm not surprised the Browns went offense either. Here's the one point that I will make, though. If you blame the coach when things go horribly wrong, then the coach needs to get credit when things go right. And here's the narrative that I've heard. This had nothing to do with Greg Williams. Are you kidding me? Of course it did. If you're going to blame Hugh Jackson for the way they started and didn't take advantage of their opportunities, not even thinking back to the 0-16 season. But if you're going to say the Browns' initial problems this season were the fault of Hugh Jackson, then you need to give credit to Greg Williams, who took over as the interim and still ran the defense. The defense did have a bunch of injuries, but still, for a while in the NFL, was the top team in terms of takeaways. Bunch of young guys on it. But most importantly, the voice of Greg Williams, the leadership of Greg Williams, kept that team together. So it's crazy how you guys can twist the narrative. It was the coach's fault that they sucked. But the coach that actually took it over and turned them around and led them to a 5-3 record, it's good that he's gone because he stinks? No. I mean, you're going to give all the credit to Freddie Kitchens? I love that as fans, we shape the narrative however we would like it to be. So I'm surprised that Greg Williams got fired. You may not be. And maybe it wasn't a dynamic that was going to work. But Williams deserves a ton of credit for what he did there in Cleveland. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And also on our Facebook page, a lot of you are weighing in about the coaching hires. I'd love to get your responses to on the phones, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're going to get to your calls coming up about the head coaching hires. I see a bunch of you want to weigh in on the Freddie Kitchens decision in Cleveland, but a few of the coaches already got introduced on Wednesday. Let's hear from them. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Matt LaFleur, he has 10 years of NFL coaching experience, but obviously taking over in Green Bay, where this will be his first time as the voice that stands in front of that locker room when they're all together, as the leader and the guy with whom the buck stops, right? So all the pressure is on you as a head coach. It's a completely different animal, even though he will have guys around him who will be holdovers from Mike McCarthy's staff, which I think will help. The idea, though, is a quick fix. This is not a long-term plan. We're not talking slow burn in Green Bay. They are looking for this to be a season in 2019 in which they are competing for the playoffs, a winning record, maybe the NFC North title. We're talking about a lot of expectations on LaFleur right away.
It's always been a dream of mine to be an NFL head coach, but to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers is surreal. And I am extremely humbled. And to follow in the footsteps of Curly Lambeau, Vince Lombardi, Mike Holmgren, Mike McCarthy is truly an honor.
You know, we're ready to get after it. And I think we got the perfect candidate to lead us to where we want to go. You know, there's one goal here, always has been one goal. That's to win world championships, and we're excited to get started.
The general manager, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy was also there as the CEO, the president, and they're beaming. I mean, the laughter, all excited about Matt LaFleur after what, their 10 interviews that they did. He was the only one to get a call from Aaron Rodgers. And according to Matt, the call from Aaron came before he got the job offer from Green Bay. So I feel like that's a pretty good sign if your phone rings and it's Aaron Rodgers and you haven't even heard from the front office yet.
I did have the opportunity to talk to Aaron, and I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to, you know, get to work with him. I think he's equally as excited, and yeah, there's a lot of work to be done in front of us, but, you know, just looking forward to that opportunity.
35 years old is Aaron Rodgers, 39 years old is Matt LaFleur. I've heard from former NFL quarterbacks who played on a roster where LaFleur was part of the coaching staff, and they do have confidence in his ability to connect with Aaron as well as his ability to injolt some life and creativity into the offense. When I ask about his ability to be a head coach, they tell me they have no idea. So the offense is going to be the easy part, quote unquote, but can LaFleur be head coach material? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for Cliff Kingsbury, those same questions will remain. But man, did he hit all the right notes in getting introduced to the Cardinals locker room as well as the Cardinals fan base on Wednesday.
This is an organization that I've always followed closely. Have always found it very, very first class. They do things right all the time. The fan base is incredible. They sell out the stadium week in and week out. The Red Sea is one of the most intimidating places in the NFL to have to play in front of, and I can't wait to be a part of this deal. I came here to help this organization get to where we want to be, and that's winning championships and giving this city the best team that we can be.
We've got a young quarterback that everybody knows, and that'll be an area of emphasis, but offense overall is the direction this league has gone, and so we felt it was important to get an offensive play caller, somebody who had tremendous success and experience doing that, and having the head coaching experience.
So Cliff Kingsbury does have head coaching experience, both at Houston and Texas Tech, not in the NFL. He said it was too good of an opportunity to pass up, even though he'd only been at USC for 1 month. And then you hear the voice of team president Michael Bidwell, who just admits offense is the way we're going, and we need someone to work with Josh Rosen. And that was echoed by the general manager, Steve Keim.
I think it was an important piece of the puzzle. I mean, it is a quarterback-driven league, and there's no doubt through my research, when you look at the young quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I think there's five of them under 3 years or less that are having success, and all of those guys are coached by offensive play callers. And a few of those guys actually were not the primary play callers prior to their head coaching experience. So, you know, there's no doubt that that's where the trend is going. So that was just a piece of the puzzle. But to take it a step further, the fact that I've seen Cliff on the grass, I've seen him coach up close and personal at Texas Tech, the way he's developed a lot of young quarterbacks, not only developed them but identified them through the recruiting process, to me was certainly a plus.
I didn't quite get the five quarterbacks under 3 years of experience who are having success. I kind of feel like there's more than that, but maybe he's not counting his own quarterback as one who's having success because Josh Rosen did not have success in his rookie year. That's quite a tall order for Cliff Kingsbury, though, as Steve mentions, he has had a track record now of working with quarterbacks and getting the most out of them. He will call the plays in Arizona, and for those of you who are thinking about the Cardinals' defense, they plan to hire a veteran coordinator, and they're going back to a 3-4 base D, which I think will benefit guys like, say, Chandler Jones. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Bruce Arians was a guest on the Rich Eisen show, and even though there's a lot to talk about as he returns to the NFL, everybody's focusing on that relationship with Jameis Winston, which actually predates their time in the NFL.
Well, Jameis was in my football camp when he was in, I think, 9th or 10th grade. And Jake, my son, and I had a football camp in Birmingham. And I was like, wow, is this kid talented? I actually thought he was going to be a baseball player because he was throwing about 90 miles an hour back then. But he won our quarterback competition. And, you know, I showed all those kids the Super Bowl ring. And I think it made an impression on him because he still talks about it today. And so, yeah, you never know with those little twists and turns when you're dealing with young people, how it affects their life.
So on the Rich Eisen show, Bruce Arians talking about his relationship with Jameis Winston that goes back to the time when Winston was a teenager and got a Super Bowl ring. I mean, that's kind of a neat perk to go to a Bruce Arians football camp, and that's what happens. That's what you come away with. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Tampa. He brings instant credibility, and he's getting a group of guys together who have a lot of experience. But have you noticed these days in the NFL, experience in many cases equates to retread. Experience equates to washed up. That's definitely a trend. In addition to the offense, is going fresh and new and starting clean, almost like these guys are blank canvases and they don't have any of that baggage. I'm a big fan of the experience. I mean, I feel like experience prepares you for what's to come, which is not just the football part of things, but the administrative and the balancing and managing egos and the playing time and the media. I mean, you can scoff at that, but not everybody's equipped to deal with a media scrutiny that comes along with being an NFL head coach. But you also have a staff that's under you. You have to be the voice in the locker room in a lot of cases, and the buck stops with you. Our friend Dan Orlovsky, who is a former NFL QB and now a football analyst, sent me a text a little while ago. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said the statistics show that 6 out of these 8 new head coaching hires will fail. And so it's really a crapshoot, right? This is his exact text. The truth is 8 hires this year. Statistics tell us 6 will fail. And so he likes teams trying to think outside of the box instead of regurgitating what we've already seen. But again, I tend to err on the side of experience because I feel like preparation is a great teacher. There's a lot that you don't know about what's to come if you've never done it before. And I think if you've been in that position, not that you want to hire a bad coach, but a guy who's had success, I'm surprised that the Jets went with Adam Gase over Mike McCarthy, considering the track record and the success that he's had. But that's just me. We're all different. So we've got 2 openings still available. Anybody for the Bengals or the Dolphins? Anybody at all? Also, Will Blackman was a guest with us earlier on the show. So he's a Super Bowl champ with the Giants. He played 12 years in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball and is now with NFL Network. Joined us in our second hour, and I asked him straight up, what do you need to hear from a new head coach who stands in front of you with no experience and was hired because of the offense? If you're a defensive player, what do you need to hear? He had a phenomenal answer. We'll let you hear it after the break. And then I promise we'll take your phone calls as well. A lot of you tweeting me. Cleveland fans are waking up now. You can also find us on Facebook, your reaction to the hires around the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And happy Thursday morning to you. We're so close to Friday. Yippee-ki-yay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you are writing to me about Jerry Jones' boat. I had no idea that this was something that interested you so much. However, I appreciate the info. Also, Andrew Bogish watches some show called Below Deck. He says he's very connected and hooked in to the yacht culture now. I mean, I work in radio. There's no way I'd have to marry someone rich, which I'm not out to have the yacht. I do like the water, but I'd take a 16-foot ski boat. That'd be plenty for me. BJ says the name of his boat is Bravo Eugenia, after his wife, Jean Jones. I can neither confirm nor deny, but I do appreciate that. Also, Kent says it's bad luck to change the name of a boat. Can we confirm or deny that? Is that something he got off Below Deck? I feel like Below Deck would just make me really want to have a yacht, and so I can't possibly spend time watching other people on their yachts. And also, another tweet here. Ridiculous fact, Jerry Jones paid more for that yacht than he did to initially buy the Dallas Cowboys. And Tim, let's just throw this little piece of information in. This is a nerd alert. This may be why there are two helipads on Bravo Eugenia. Jerry Jones and his son both own helicopters that they take to and fro the games. I think he meant to say from, but whatever. We get the gist. So you can't. Okay, I'm not even going to ask. I don't know anything about helicopters and boats and why you would need two. I guess they don't carpool. They do not park and ride. The Jones family does not park and ride. 855-212-4227. We're going to get to Will Blackman here in a sec. Mike is listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning. Yeah, I was going to say about the helipad. You know, when I land my helicopter in my front yard, it's always nice that I have room for my friends to come, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
As far as the coaching, and with the renaming of the boat, there's a whole thing you got to do in order to rename a boat.
Whatever. I'm not superstitious, so I don't care. If I ever have a boat, I'll name it whatever I feel like.
Right. Coaching carousel.
Yeah.
Maryland head coach Mike Locksley. What do we think about potentially Jalen Hurts coming to Maryland? That would be nice for me.
Well, it is all about you this morning, Mike. I have no idea where he's going to go. I assume there are going to be schools out there who will be very interested. For now, it's just about the portal. He's not even necessarily has to transfer by being in the portal. But he's an upgrade. He's an upgrade in character. He's an upgrade in leadership. He's obviously a winner. He's been on the sport's biggest stage. For most schools, they've got nothing like him and more than likely would be happy to have him in the right system. I'm interested to see where he goes. I'm so admiring of him just because of the way that he handled this. This could have been a lot messier, and it wasn't. I'm not sure there are many other young men who could handle the situation as well as he did.
I agree totally. I just think that would obviously give him a chance to start immediately.
Oh, well, that's the idea. He's not going somewhere else to not start. He's transferring to use his last year of eligibility as a grad student so that he can start, obviously. Otherwise, he would just stay at Bama because he is still playing there. He's just not starting.
Right. What do you think about anybody potentially giving any draft picks up for Harbaugh?
There are only two jobs left. Does Harbaugh want to go to the Bengals or the Dolphins over the Ravens? I'm thinking no.
Fit me under contract, so I don't think it's his choice, is it?
No, because the contract gets voided. That's the funny thing about the trading of a coach is you're not trading the contract. It's compensation, essentially, for taking another team's property, but it's not the same kind of a trade as what we think about with a trade for players who have no say in it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right, so before we get to these other calls, I mentioned Will Blackman. I really want you to hear this. So I asked Will because he's a former NFL defensive back. He won a Super Bowl. He played more than a decade. And to me, it can be a tough sell if your entire coaching hiring was about the offense and it's all about that side of the ball. Well, what do you need to hear is what I asked Will. When that new head coach stands in front of you, maybe no experience, maybe he's early 30s. Well, only Sean McVay's early 30s, but late 30s. He's a younger guy and it's all about the offense. What do you need to hear from him that sells to you he can be a head coach?
Just be himself. That's the main thing. Don't come in here and try to be, you know, trying to be Joe Gibbs, trying to be a Vince Lombardi. Don't come here with these speeches that you're going to promise this or do this, because, you know, we'll find out real quick that, you know, you're a fraud. But come in there and, you know, present yourself. This is your plan. Show us that you have a plan. Give us, you know, facts how you're going to try to get that plan. And then the magic thing is I want to help you succeed. If we hear that from a coach, we want to help you succeed, then you already have us. You're good. Because what coaches don't realize, or what a lot of people don't realize, is that, yeah, it's the NFL. Guys are getting paid. This is the highest of the highest. But everyone wants to be taught. Everyone wants to be coached. Everyone wants the answers. I remember Charles Woodson, when he went over to back to the Raiders, he had a defensive back coach, Marcus Robertson, and who was a nine-time All-Pro guy himself. And think about it. This is Charles Woodson, who already won everything. He's, you know, almost 40 years old. And he's letting Coach Robertson give him the answers. Like, he's letting him coach him. Because Coach Marcus said, he said, or they call him Embra, they said, listen, Charles, if you listen to me, I will get you back in the Pro Bowl again at damn near 40 years old. And he listened. And sure enough, ended up in the Pro Bowl.
So that's what Will says. On the defensive side of the ball, I need this coach to stand up there and be real and come with a plan. Don't tell me we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. Don't promise me this. Don't promise me that, because we'll see right through it and we'll find out you're a fraud pretty quick. Make sure you're prepared. Have a plan and tell me what you can do for me. How can you help me? As a player, I want to be coached. How can you help me? The entire conversation with Will is really good. We talk about the situation in Green Bay because, of course, he was there for a while. We talk about Bruce Arians. We talked about the age idea and does it matter to players if the coach is closer in age to them and is more life experience in common with them. All of those things in this conversation with Will, who is now part of NFL Network. He's great. So if you would please check that out on our show Twitter or on our Facebook page. Our podcast is posted every weekday morning, and the interviews are separate. And I feel like you'll learn a lot. Not to mention, we went over Wild Card Weekend, as well as I asked him to pick one game to talk about for Divisional Weekend. Nope, he said, I can't do it. I have to talk about all four. So he just took over the show. It was fine. It's always good to talk to Will. 855-212-4227. Nick is listening in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Amy. I love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, Freddie Kitchens, we love the hire there because...
When you say we, who are we referring to, Nick? Are you speaking for all of the Cleveland fan base?
Almost the majority, I will guarantee you that.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, we are very grateful of what Greg Williams did. We'll never forget that. I do believe that they let him go just because it would be a hard thing to flip-flop, you know, position. But we're definitely very grateful. But I want to say also with Mike McCarthy, I normally 90% of the time I agree with you with the experience. But I will say that, like Andy Reid had to he had to adapt a little bit. He had to change. And I do know that it's reported that the reason McCarthy wasn't even interviewed with Cleveland was because he wasn't going to change his offense whatsoever.
I thought that, just to give the other side, I thought Mike McCarthy said he was only interested in New York.
But if you go back before, they put out that they had conversations with McCarthy on the phone and they weren't going to interview him, and then that very next day is when he said he's only going to have conversations with New York. So I just believe that there's something there, to be honest with you. So, and then what they're saying on ESPN Cleveland is that he wasn't willing basically to keep Freddie Kitchens on, and that's why they promoted him.
Well, that makes sense. McCarthy is the offensive guy. So if I'm getting hired, I don't want the team handing me an offensive coordinator who may or may not see the same offense as I do. That makes total sense. McCarthy's been around for a long time, and I can understand him not wanting to then go into a situation where he's going to be dictated to as a Super Bowl winning head coach. Nick, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Patrick, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I want to say I love the show.
Thank you.
Listen every morning on my way to work.
Awesome.
I just want to say also the whole Greg Williams thing, I think it was a pretty stupid move in my decision, or in my head, because You know, the guy was making something out of nothing. And I thought Baker Mayfield was going to be great, and Hugh Jackson didn't support him and give him the tools to succeed. So I think that's kind of stupid. I am interested to see what Freddie Kitchens does, though. I also have one more question. Is there news for a head coaching position for Miami Dolphins? And I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you, Patrick, in Baltimore. I think he was asking me whether or not there was any news about the head coach in Miami. Right, no. So the Dolphins and Bengals obviously are the two teams right now that do not have openings. And here's what I've heard about the Dolphins. This is what appears to be the case, that the Dolphins really want a member of the Patriots staff, their defensive coordinator, and that they're willing to hold out and wait for him. That's kind of the idea is right now. And it would make sense why they're quiet at this point. You know, who it is that they want, if that person's still involved in the playoffs, then they would have to be content to wait. So, yeah, I mean, that to me makes sense. But it's been pretty quiet, for sure. Brian Flores, he's the Patriots DC. And then there's other guys that they're probably interviewing. I mean, I've seen some other guys too. Special teams coordinator here, an offensive guy there. Stephen Ross wants to go through a rebuild here. So he's more about the slow burn. And sounds like he's going to go outside the box as well, though we won't find out right now. I mean, there are guys that you're just so thrilled for, like a Vic Fangio, who's been 3 decades in the NFL and has never gotten a chance to be a head coach until now. And I think the dichotomy with ages is so fascinating. Pete Carroll, 67, Bruce Arians and Bill Belichick, 66, Vic Fangio, 60, and then a bunch of guys in their 30s. It's good stuff. All right, we're back tonight to talk about Divisional Weekend after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.